You're listening to Fixing Fundraising. Joining the self-proclaimed Agony Uncles of the charity sector is a wonderful guest and their biggest pet peeve. Here are your hosts, Tom Dufresne and Andy King.
Hello and welcome to Fixing Fundraising episode 9.
Hello.
Andy King's here.
As is Tom Dufresne,
I am.
As always. We realise we don't say your full name very often, so
don't
here we
play.
Are. Tom Dufresne, Tom Dufresne, Tom Dufresne.
Yeah, they say it three times.
I think you're probably caught up. If anyone says it in the mirror, you'll probably get an annoying tweet notification shortly afterwards. yeah, and today we're joined by the incredible Jane Turner.
Hello, everybody.
Hello,
Andrew.
Jane Turner.
Hello, Tom Dufresne, Tom Dufresne, Tom Dufresne.
Oh, your Twitter's probably popping immediately. Jane, for those who don't know who you are, unimaginable as that is, would you like to just give us a quick introduction as to who you are and what your history is with fundraising?
Yes, hi, I'm Jane Turner. I am the RAG Administrator. I know, not a great title, for Loughborough Students RAG and Loughborough Students Union. And I have been actually fundraising probably a lot longer than I've been at Loughborough. I helped out with playgroups when my children were little and football groups when my son was involved in football, and managed to convince Loughborough Students' Union to employ me.
Oh.
21 years ago.
21 years.
It's been a while. She hasn't even mentioned her medal yet, so that's,
no, that's
pretty
true.
Good going.
You know I don't like to.
We'll post a picture of it with the episode, don't worry.
It's on my LinkedIn.
Okay, no, good, there we go. So obviously, we've known each other for a while now, both coming from student fundraising, and
yes.
You are helping run the largest student fundraising group in the country. I would say the largest raising and giving group, but you'd tell me off because it doesn't stand for that where you come from. And do you know roughly how much Loughborough RAG raised last year, just to give people a context?
Well, for the last 10 years, we have raised over £1 million, and it was £1 million, I think.
I like that you're pretending to be like, just off the top of my head, approximately exactly this to the penny. and that's for a whole different range of charities, correct?
Yes, yes. So that's not actually goes into our bank account. We do specific central events such as our fireworks night, and we do a couple of colour dashes a year. We do a beer keller. These go into our central pot because we have to raise money to pay our RAG chair. And the other fundraising side is poppy appeal raids, just recently come to mind, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
And mega raids for different charities and students that sign up for challenges, treks, that go on fund-based fundraise throughout the year. So really it's changed a lot since I first started because of online platforms for fundraising and the challenges and the money going straight to the charity. But obviously we're allowed to count that. Any love for student that's in fundraising, we're allowed to put that on our total because we are.
Because we make the rules.
I said it.
I think Tom and I were really excited to speak to you because I think there's a lot of community and events fundraisers out there who've heard that student fundraising is a thing but might not necessarily know the right way to approach it. For example, they might not know that a raid is a student term for a street collection. They might not know that a mega raid is a street collection with an overnight stay, though that definition is contended.
Mm.
Is that what you'd call it?
A mega raid is for... Yeah, lots of different student groups. So different RAGs from around the country all getting together.
Great. And I think...
So a bigger scale than us sending 50 students to the poppy appeal. Mm. I suppose the poppy appeal is a mega raid, isn't it? Because they stay over. We just don't call it that.
There you go.
Okay. Mm.
Lingo evolves over time. and obviously, in the years that we've known each other, we've seen a couple of charities do student fundraising incredibly well, and we've seen some other charities do it not so well.
Mm, they come and go, don't they? They come and go.
Yes, indeed. And some just never come at all.
No.
and I was hoping Tom, stop making dirty jokes. I was hoping that you could kind of give the people listening some advice on how to do it well and how to not do it badly, really.
I think from experience, the ones that we work with well have to be in touch with us all, not just the students that they've signed up, but the, especially with Loughborough, the central office, because we need to know. Oh my, you're going to have to pause. I've just realised I've left my gas on. That's the bloody dementia kicking in. Right, sorry.
You're all good.
Okay. What's good about in the kitchen? Yes, so we have to communicate a lot. And I realise that everybody's massively busy and everybody has different events and different groups that they work with. But there are so many ways of getting in touch nowadays. There isn't an option of not being able to get in touch with anybody unless you've got poor internet connection.
Sorry about that.
If they've never worked with students before, come and see what it's all about. That's the key. Travel. Don't just Google us or look on the Facebook page. It doesn't tell a lot. Come and see the office. Come and see the student union. Meet the committee. The committee and the reps are the core, really, not me. They're the ones that will engage with a charity if the cause is good. And obviously, that's another thing as well. Sometimes it has to, even because the little charities do struggle.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And unfortunately, yes, at Loughborough, it is competition. Mm. But I think it's years to come, we will would like to help the smaller charities. And we have helped charities from, hand-holding them from the first time we've met them at a conference and helped them along their way. But it is keeping the lines of communication open, I think, and coming to visit as well. Face-to-face has got to be, there's no bad thing about that.
Yeah, I always felt that having worked in that sector, like worked in the student fundraising world, is that weirdly, even like you said, Jane, all the methods of communication, face-to-face was always the most effective. Like, it doesn't matter whatever it was, you could write a million Facebook posts or set up a Facebook group for every single track or whatever it was, but the way you really got to build a strong relationship was coming and seeing people and seeing how it worked,
Book that appointment in. Book it for 2 hours, 2.5 hours. That's not a lot of time out of your life for you to get to feel the love for students and fundraising.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Yeah.
Because if somebody's starting out student fundraising, it's usually a student graduate.
Yep.
Somebody who's done fundraising before. So they are going to know, and don't put ragging capitals.
You had to get that in.
It's a very controversial topic in the student fundraising sector.
It's going to be a hard episode title.
Maybe in the episode description we can put it every different way.
Just do
capital RAG, capital R, lowercase a, capital G, capital R, lowercase ag.
Or as one of our students said many years ago, RAG, place to be. Thank you,
good.
Anthony.
Good. So one of the things that we've discussed before is about that initial approach, because when I was back doing rag chairing, when I ran a student group, we got about 13 emails a day from people, and a lot of it was, "Dear Rag, my charity knits jumpers for cats, and we think that's great. Would you like to give us some money or raise some money so that we can knit more jumpers by buying more yarn for our cats? Thanks."
That's Dear Rag. Ooh, no, do your research as well. Massively do your research. Because I suppose everybody's, I don't know if they're on saying, I am old school and technology is all really good. You cannot, but again, nothing beats face-to-face. And that phone call. When emails are going back and forth and there's three or four people in the thread, usually about something that Rag have done that's annoyed people. But I pick the phone up. I'll arrange a meeting. that that's the best thing. And it's, somebody will say, oh my God, I've seen that you've raised £1 million. Please can we have 100,000 to run this project? No. I'm really sorry, but that's not how we work. So, and then once you explain that, so we're here to assist you in your fundraising.
Yeah.
Or we'll do, and also don't think too big.
Yes.
As well, no, like the 100,000. We can't help you do that. And we're going to start little with you. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
So a recent one, the volunteer group, they are a charity, but they recruit volunteers to go abroad.
Yeah.
And they obviously they want some fundraising as well. And so I've said, you're not well, I'm sorry, but you're not well known within Loughborough.
Right.
You know, we have to look you up. But yeah. Yes, we will help you to recruit volunteers. But on the side of that, we could do a little fundraiser, which will be little, but we could do, I saw something, it was on Facebook, because somebody else's event, but chocolate making. Come and have a glass of fizz, make some chocolate the day before Valentine's. Boom, people will pay whatever money, if we get somebody to help make the chocolate for free, because it's a charity event, and then also take the costs of out of, you know, for the fizz. Actually, we've always got fizz in the office.
Yeah, so. Well, not necessarily every uni does that, to be fair.
But the girls that I met who actually came to, they volunteer in Greece at the moment, and they came back. She stayed with her mother, but she came to visit. They both were Loughborough graduates. They love Loughborough. They got it. And I'd said, this is, you know, we don't raise the million. We haven't got that in our bank. But I can help you. We can do it in the student union. It'll get people involved. And also you can get your you know, work out there for recruiting volunteers. I've never seen two girls so happy after a half an hour chat. It was just lovely. And then also that'll be something different for the students to do.
Yeah, definitely.
Come and make chocolate, have a glass of fizz, and then hopefully they'll be interested in Indigo.
I think that is something that is a common misconception in the sector, is that a student fundraising group raises money and then holds the funds centrally, almost like a trustable foundation that you then apply for, rather than coming with, could you help us raise money by, for example, making chocolate at an event? And I know that Tom and I were saying that when we were doing student approaches, a really important thing to do was to come with an idea.
Yeah.
So that you'd stand out.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So in terms of those ideas that people come with, is there any particular comments or advice you have on the events that do work, the events that don't, the things that you'd consider and the things you'd never try?
Well, you've got to cost everything out to where you're going, what you're actually doing, you know, health and safety wise, I've always got that hat on, Andrew.
I'm aware.
Make sure it's safe. And then there's bound to be someone that's done it before. If there's not, then ask. We had a student 2 years ago, and one of our rag chairs, bless him, he said, I can't cope with this. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So it's not your job to tell them it's not going to happen, because you don't know until we ask the question. We have to ask the question of the university. And the university were like, actually, yes, I think it can work. So it hasn't happened yet, but because they've built on more land, obviously. But it's asking the questions and ask other people if anybody's done something similar. Did it work? If it did, what was good about it? What went wrong? I mean, we decided to have a winter wonderland in one of the squares in the university. In the winter, obviously, stalls and fairground rides and the pretend ice rink.
Oh, nice.
It wasn't. It was rubbish. It was without a doubt the worst thing I've ever decided we could do. Flyers. We had to have students, the committee there to monitor. And then the irony of it is it got snowed off.
Oh, God.
It was about 2 years ago when it absolutely dumped a load of snow in Loughborough. It was ridiculous.
Okay, so that didn't look great,
though. We thought it was going to work.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it cost me the money to have the flyers produced.
I guess that's a tip. Don't approach students for a Winter Wonderland idea. But yeah, a colour dash, on the other hand,
might work out. It was going to be Hyde Park-esque, and it definitely wasn't.
So I guess
if they're coming with an idea, come with the ideas and come with a plan.
Yeah, and that's the overarching message, right? Is it's a collaborative, like, don't come thinking that a RAG is a grant making organization that's going to just write a check for you. How can you collaborate on something that can help make it start a good relationship? Because what I think what a lot of charities miss is that if they have a good impression on essentially young people, those people could go on to become regular donors. They could go on to support that organization again. Like, I think that's a big missing piece.
Yeah, going back to the bit about us holding on to the money, that's why we do central events.
Yeah.
And that, you'll have to look into this or whether I'm talking out of turn. But I probably am. And you know what? Don't care. Let's just roll with it. The union want to make RAG, as I know the union's a charity, but sort of like the RAG Foundation. So that we do run events that make money, and then we give money back to the local charities or a school or a voluntary organisation. Now, when I first started, yes, that's what we did, because we raised shitloads of money.
Yeah.
And we had money to give because it wasn't ours to keep.
Yeah.
Fundraised it. So people applied for grants. Now that has changed because students are raising for a specific charity because of a specific trek, challenge, whatever. Yeah. So I don't think that person is going to work, and I don't think that people will raise money for the RAG Foundation. I'd like to think they would.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to have to spend a lot of money to do a bloody great event that we then give back.
I have seen some universities try that, and it definitely doesn't work as well as it does if you're raising for specified causes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they've said as well that sort of to raise that money might be helping me pay my salary. And that is not what I signed up for 21 years ago. Mm. So I have said, you do that and I don't agree with it, then I'm out.
Yeah.
That's, you can leave that in or take it out.
It feels like a step backwards almost, doesn't it? Because I think fundraising's evolved a lot more than that now.
Yeah, we tried, and you can only, and I know from before when we've, I mean, I have taken obviously advice from our director of finance that when we sent students to a city to collect, and we paid for the transport and we paid for their tickets, we were allowed 10% of that money. That still stands.
Yeah.
We can still do that. But anything else, I don't see how a charity could pay for my time.
No, yeah, definitely.
When the union are paying.
Well, especially because your job role is directly in line with the union's mission statement, because what you're doing is providing a better student experience.
Yeah,
and it just happens to be the means that you're doing that by is through offering opportunities to raise money for other charities.
Yeah.
But I know that the charity law around student unions raising money for charities is often why a RAG exists, because it's the specified way they're allowed to spend their time raising money for other causes.
Mm.
And it seems odd that they're considering going back on that. Do you know if that's a particularly widespread thing, or if that's just a Loughborough internal issue?
I think at the moment it's Loughborough internally. I haven't spoken to anyone who's my equivalent. There isn't one. So I don't know. I mean, if the union will listen, I don't know. But I've thought about it for quite a while, and I'm like, no, it doesn't rest easy with me, and I don't. You know, like organising, like if we were the Choose a Challenge people.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we've still got to get people out in a country to make sure that they're safe.
Of course, yeah.
And I know we have DARE, and that's our long-standing relationship with the people in Norway and the bike providers.
Yeah. So just so DARE is the Doggy Arctic Rag Expedition. Is that
dog,
what it is?
Dog Arctic Rag Expedition. Yes.
Yeah, crushed it. Look at that knowledge. Which is oh, sorry, I didn't say doggo. So
doggo, yeah, yeah. doggy.
And that's your internal challenge, offer, yeah. Right? So, yeah. So am I right in thinking that challenge events are really where the big money in student fundraising is? Would you say?
Yes. Yeah.
I
really do think it is. They want to do something that's different, but they've got to think of them also, which is admirable, because they've got to show that they've raised the money as well, but they've got to come up with the unique ways of raising that money.
Yeah.
And they've got to be committed to doing that, because some of them are a big bloody target.
Yes, yeah.
I think that I'd struggle. No, I wouldn't.
He'd just flash your medal.
if you flog the medal, I bet you'd make the target in no time.
Never flog the medal.
So if you, obviously, you have charities come and pitch to you for the slots to promote the challenge events, and that's quite common across universities, right?
Yes.
What makes a good pitch? Like, what fixes a pitch to be good?
I think sort of coming prepared, and you're going to get pretty much the same questions that you get in the online form. So it's coming prepared. How are you prepared to help students? What are you going to give them? Is there anything different that another charity will offer that you're offering? So it's always, and they're confident, and they're looking at you, and they're engaged, and they really want to be part of it, of Loughborough, and they're committed to visiting as well, because it's pretty easy to get to.
Yeah.
And if I like you, I'll always pick you up from the station as well.
That's true. Mm. I've had a ride in the Jane Mobile.
So yeah, I think that sells them, and also if we think that the charity will be a good, I know it sounds from a kind of a business, it is a business, but
yeah, a good partner,
hardly,
right?
Hardly,
yeah.
If it's one that's hardly heard of,
yeah,
you're going to struggle more than the, you know, the bigger ones. I'm not mentioning any.
No, but you're right. Yeah. It has to be a good partnership where you get,
yeah,
you know, that.
But
when,
also, even if it's a one that's just, I mean, one of them is just, you know, they were just so nearly there for one pitch, and we're hoping that they'll come for it next year.
Mm-hmm.
But also, but if it was a little charity, if they've got the passion,
yeah,
and are prepared to come up or Skype calls or anything like that, and the students be like, do you know what, yes, we want to raise money for this charity.
Yeah, and they can do it, absolutely.
We've got to start little.
Yeah, I think if they get really passionate people and have a good idea and quite a unique product, then yeah, there's no reason you can't break into that sector. But like, I think to what you said, Jane, you have it has to be a two-way street, and you have to, you can't just assume you're going to get it and think that it's
And also, from a rags point of view, I know it's not about rags tonight, but you've got to get bloody good team leaders.
Yeah, yeah.
You really have.
Yeah.
So ours are absolutely amazing. I'm absolutely astounded that they're doing a degree. They're in and out of the gym. They go out, you know, they have a life, and they're doing for engaging others to and helping them to raise money and arranging socials and.
Yeah,
sitting in the office, handing out buckets, answering questions. They are amazing.
They're definitely the cogs in the machine. I was a rag chair, but I was never a team lead, and I was amazed by the team leads. Like, they always did so much.
I think from my side, that's one of the biggest mistakes I've seen charities make is getting team leaders and not investing in them.
Yeah,
because if you really train that person on the campus to be your ambassador, they do a lot of the work for you.
Loads.
And
yeah,
the fact that they're physically there in person just gives them so much more credence than you'd otherwise get.
Mm.
So,
yeah, absolutely. They are amazing. And it's just like, yeah, I'm doing one-to-ones. So they'll come somewhere centrally, you know, bring the work with them, but then, you know, they crack on with answering questions and just reassuring because, well, I mean, Maz and I haven't got, the Ragtier and I haven't got time to do that kind of thing for every trek that we do, to reassure them. And it, and if, and you know, there's well, I'm hoping there's no bullying and there's no cajoling if they do, if you feel like really feel really nervous about, if you're not convinced when you're going to the charity and the team leader, you're not going to be convinced.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, it's the same with our trek. If you, we give you a 7 days, think about it, because it's a, it's not a small target. So, and we had four drop out straight away. I was like, no, it doesn't matter. You don't have to give us excuses. You just, you decided no, you don't want to do it. That's absolutely fine. Tell us that you're a definite dropout so that we can recruit somebody else who does want to do it. Especially if there's only a 34 people that are allowed to do it, and you've had 70 people in a room.
You'll be able
to garner some interest from four others. So yeah, team leaders, amazing.
God, love them. Nice.
So I guess the takeaways are to do your research, meet people in person, and have a unique idea. And then once that idea is said yes to, actually invest the time in to make it work.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And love your volunteers.
And don't hide anything as well. If you're struggling with something, then just sort of let us know. You know, if that, if it's a charity are coming, to think we, you know, you don't have to pay for a meeting room. Mm. If you book it through us, that little things like that, or I mean, one charity stayed in an Airbnb after the Chiquita Challenge. We're like, oh my god, no, we could have got you one that was nearer in town, or you know, it, or a room, someone this room, it, you know, again, the Ragmobile came out, had to take them, but just ask the littlest things if we can help.
Yeah, definitely.
Well,
yeah, might be no questions, a silly question. Just, I'll just talk about you behind your back.
Or on a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Right, Jane, it's question time. That's the famous timer we ask questions.
Oh, joy.
that is the common response, I think.
Yeah.
And the first one we've got is, what is an idea that if you could unthink from the world that you wish no one had ever thought of, what would you unthink from fundraising?
Raising and giving.
Well, the whole concept.
It is not an acronym, it is a word.
We've settled that.
Wikipedia or ask Ian.
It's now in media. It's on a podcast.
There you go. Doesn't RAG come from the history of giving rags to the homeless?
Students taking their old stuff to the poor, and the poor saying, oh, here they come with the rags for us. And I kind of like that. And I do understand raising and giving.
Yeah, but it was kind of forced in afterwards.
Hair's very thin with me. I don't think people just sometimes at Loughborough do it on purpose just to wind me up.
No.
Especially now where you can screenshot something, do a circle around it.
and then
send it to me at regular intervals, as people do.
Those cruel people.
Good. Cool.
Jane, if you were followed around with a sign, what would it say?
Buy me wine.
Buy me one. Nice.
Or ask me any question.
Nice. You could say both. You could be a double-sided sign.
Yeah. Or ask me any question. I will answer if you give me one. Yeah.
And any question, because you'll always get a damn honest answer.
Yeah, that is true. That is very true. Nice.
Is there a particular book, podcast, or blog that you'd recommend for people to find out more about the kind of work that you do?
I think everyone should go and listen to Fixing Fundraising.
Hey! Finally it happened. Only took 9 episodes to get someone to recommend us.
Excellent.
We didn't pay you, Jane, but the check is in the post.
There we go.
Buy me wine.
Ask any question and buy me wine.
Oh, that's good. Jane, what's your biggest failure and what did you learn from it?
Well, I think we've touched on that in the first section, and that would be our Winter Wonderland event. But, you know, in my head, it was going to be marvellous, and it wasn't. But then, yes, I learned from that. Not everything has to be brilliant. And I listen to the students now saying, oh, we did this and it was rubbish. I'm thinking, no, you didn't, I did it. But if you're saying we, absolutely right.
Shared responsibility.
So yeah, and learn from it. Don't do it again. And take the piss out of yourself.
Excellent.
Nice.
Jane, what's your favourite joke?
My favourite... Oh, I've got such a rude joke. No, I'm not going to say that one.
No.
I'll tell you off air. In the green room.
Okay. We have a green room?
All right. I can't spell Armageddon, but it's not the end of the world.
I wasn't expecting that at all.
That is pretty good.
No, it's one of those ones when you know you've got godchildren that are about 10 or 11 and they think they're dead. Yeah.
Nice.
That's the one you have to use.
Nice.
I'll tell the other one when you've turned the mic off.